Good morning. Today's Daf Menachos Samach Beis. We are on Samach Beis, very top of the Amud, with the words Ketzad. We are in the middle of a sentence. We're talking about the mitzvahs of Tanufa. There is a mitzvah of Tanufa for various Menachos, and it's not just limited to Menachos. Karbanos also require Tanufa. The Mishnah on Samach Aleph and Aleph treats us to the lengthy discussion, or not discussion, but checklist in terms of which karbanos require tenufa. While we're on the topic of what the Mishnah covered, not only does the Mishnah cover tenufa, but it covers also the mitzvah of smicha. The end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon talking about the three aspects of tenufa, mecham tenufa from aposhchita and smicha, and the various karbanos that have two of those three. So that's coming up later on this morning. In the meantime, however, the Mishnah talks about tenufa. Sometimes it's with Hagasha, sometimes it's without Hagasha. And sometimes there's neither. But in any event, so that's what we've been discussing over the since yesterday's Mishnah. And in terms of tenufa, the waving, so in the course of today's daf, today's a really it's a more popular daf, I guess I could say, in the context of tenufa, because we're going to learn the procedure of how to actually do tenufa. It's coming up a little bit later this morning. And the way that tenufa is done for a mincha and a karban is going to be the same way that it's done for a for the lulav as well. So we're going to learn how to shake the lulav today. I know it's a funny sentence, but that's what comes up in Menachos and Daf Samech Beis. So it's coming attractions. In the meantime, however, we talked about tenufa yesterday, and in the course of a brisa, let's just pick it up right where we left off. In the brisa, actually, let's go back to the beginning of the brisa, Tanya Idach. Sorry, Samech Alef Amud Beis. Five lines from the bottom, we learned in a brisa. Bnei Yisrael, Ein Li Ela Bnei Yisrael, Geim V'Avadim M'Shecharim, Minayin. How do I know that the mitzvah of tenufa is not only limited to Bnei Yisrael, but anyone who converts as well? A ger obviously is a classic convert, a Eved M'Shecharim. That's an Eved Kanani that was freed, and that freedom results in becoming a Jew. So a full-fledged Jew, as an Eved Kanani, so somewhat of a Jew. Right? The Chayiv and Mitzvos, Turos from Mitzvah Sese Shazman Grama, if a male gets a bris milah, but can't marry a Jew. All right, anyway, when free becomes a Jew. So, how do I know the tenufa applies to them as well? Minayin tamalamar hamakriv. So the Torah includes with the words hamakriv, meaning anyone who offers. Limited to just a kohen who actually offers. Kishuamar yadav tivienu are balamamor. No, the pasuk says that his hands are going to be bringing it, meaning his hands are literally on the karban, so that's referencing the owner. Haketzad, so then, who's doing the tenufa? Is it the owner, is it the kohen? Now, we already dealt with this yesterday, but this is, Brisa is going over basically the same point. Haketzad, kohen yadav tachas yadei abalim. So what happens is that the kohen places his hands under the hands of the owner. In other words, the owner's hands is first and foremost on the bowl. Kohen's hands are underneath. And Kate said, "Ose meniach imurim al pisas hayad v'chaz v'shok aleihem." So, and exactly how is this done? So, how is the kohen and the owner is going to both have his hands on the karban? So, the imurim are going to be placed on his hands, and the chaz v'shok are going to be placed on top of it. And any time that there's bread involved, so the bread's going to be on top. So, basically, there's a stack of things that are going to be waved together. So, in other words, how is it going to be piled up? So, it's going to be piled up where the imorim are going to be on the bottom. Chaz v'shoker, those are the parts of the shlamim that go to the kohen. They're going to be on top of that. And if bread is involved in the tenufa, the bread's going to be on top of that as well. So, hecha. Now, where exactly do we have the scenario where we have all those items where and the lechem is going to be on top? Amarapapa bimiluim. So we're going to see it by the miluim. Take a look at Rashi over here. We'll go straight to Rashi, meaning I won't put chumash in this instance. But Rashi writes, "Dichziv umisal amatzos asher lifnei Hashem ad veyasam al hachalavim veal shokayimin." So in other words, if you read the psukim regarding the miluim, so we do have a tenufa with bread, with chalev, and with the shok. And the obviously by shok over here we mean chaz v'shok. So we do have a tenufa with all three of those items. Bread's on top. The bread is on top of both the chilev and the chaz v'shok. Okay, and that is by the miluim. Obviously, that was only a one time event that only happened in the inauguration of the Mishkan. But the Gemara assumes that there is a general precedent that set that because in that instance the bread goes on top, so in general the bread is going to be going on top. Okay. My time, my ilam and mishum dichsiv, shokashum of chazay tenufa, ali shechalavim, yavula nif tenufa. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. If we're going to really go through the psukim and see in the psukim and size which should be going on top for the tenufa, so the Gemara says, let's actually take a look at the psukim inside. So one pasuk gives the indication that the shokashum and the chazay tenufa, chazay vishok. Again, just to be clear, chazay vishok are the parts of a shlamim that go to the kohen, of a typical shlamim. Shlam Yitzibor is atypical. We'll talk more about that later on. But on a typical shlamin, chaz v'shok, the chest and the front leg of the animal, no, sorry, the back leg of the animal, are going to the kohanim. Those are parts of a shlamin go to the kohen. They're going to be waved together with the chelev. Chelev over here means the imurim, the parts of the carbon that go up onto the mizbeach. Yavi ulanif tenufa. Okay, so what do we have over here? We have clearly in this pasuk the idea that chaz v'shok are on top of the chelev. The Gemara says that's wonderful, and that's what we mentioned earlier. Gemara says, but I do have another pasuk as a chelev al hachazer yivienu. The chelev goes on top of the chazer. So in this pasuk, it's just the opposite, flipped. Literally, the chelev is on top, the chaz v'shok on the bottom. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Maisilei Cohen mi beis hamitbechayim viramilei. So the Gemara says over here, what you're going to have to do is as follows. And we're going to have a third pasuk also, which is also going to confuse us. But basically, what's going to happen is you have a stack. And every time you have a stack and you pass it from one person to another, I mean, you could slide it over from one person to the other, but the Gemara is always assuming that it's going to get flipped when it's passed from one person to the other. So that which was on top now is on the bottom, and of course, vice versa. So that means to say as follows. When the Kohen is now coming out of the Beis HaMitbachayim, the area in the Azara, where everything's prepared, the Chaz V'Shok is prepared, the Chelev is prepared, the animal was shechted, the animal was basically dissected. And so now you have all these parts. So now, when being presented to the Kohen, so that's the pasuk we just read, where the Chelev is going to be on top of the Chaz V'Shok. But then he's going to hand it over to the Kohen, who's going to do the Tanufa. He's flipping it over. Okay, good. Now v'haksiv. Now we do have a third pasuk, and that is v'yasimus echalavim ala chazos. Chelev is going to go now on top of the chaz v'shok. So over here, how does that happen?
What happened to the bread, though?
In this particular case, there's no bread. Meaning the bread by the miluim. You're right. Correct. In other words, the bread by the miluim. You're right. Then you have to also take into account the bread. So ahudi yavle lekohen achrin avazo makatole. So the Gemara says that's the second time it's getting passed. Mm-hmm. From coin number two now to coin number three. Right. Meaning this is where it's going to actually be burnt. And so over here, it's going to get flipped from two to three. When it gets flipped, now the chelev is going to be on top. Makes sense, by the way, because which part now is offered on the mizbeach? The chelev is being offered on the mizbeach. Chaz v'shok are going to be end up retained by the kohanim. And then the Gemara now notes, how many kohanim do we just get involved in this scenario? Three kohanim. Two passes, three kohanim. So v'hakamash malan dibin ishlosh kohanim mishim dechsi b'rov am hadras melech. A point that we just went over recently in Tosfos. The Gemara now says it here beferish. The more kohanim involved, the better. So over here, when we are talking about the passing of the chaz v'shok, so it and the chelev, so once from the base of mitbachayim to the kohen who does the tenufa, where now while waving is going to be done, it'll be chaz v'shok on top, chelev on the bottom, then passed a second time to a third kohen where it's going to get flipped. And so now that kohen is going to be holding the chelev on top, chaz v'shok on the bottom, and he's the one who's going to be doing the haktara. Okay. She'elech v'shnei kivsei hatzeres. Okay, now, on Shavuos, I know we've spent a lot of time talking about this particular carbon, but it is a very unique carbon, and now the Gemara is going to be discussing it again, and that is there's going to be a waving of the kivsei hatzeres together with the she'elechem, which is on top, which is on bottom, tana rabbanan. So the Gemara here quotes a brisa. The brisa will present, I know it's hard to imagine, by the way, you know, sometimes we see a lot of machlokas. We try to minimize the machlokas. How many opinions are there in terms of which should be on top? So I would have guessed, going into the brisa, that there can't be more than two opinions, right? It can't be four opinions. That's amazing, right? The levels of creativity are really, right? I this is just one of those instances, you know, normally none of this surprises me, but just one of those instances where how can you get to four opinions? Okay, you're wondering, right? So, v'heinivakon osam alechem abikurim. So, the Torah says that you wave the lechem halechem abikurim. That's obviously reference to the shavuos karbanos. Perich of gimel pasuk chaf. We've gone over this pasuk numerous times. Anyway, yachli yanich kvasim al gabe halechem. Now I might have thought that the kvasim should go on top of the lechem. Tamalama al shnei kvasim. So the Torah over here gives seemingly very clear instructions. The Torah says al shnei kvasim, which means that the lechem should be going on top. So he al shnei kvasim yachli lechem al gabe kvasim. Okay, good. So now we might think, okay, good. I think I get it now. So that the lechem should go on top of the kvasim. So tamalama al lechem habikurim. But if you read in the pesukim, you read them carefully, you'll see that it also says that the kvasim go on top of the lechem. So now nishtakel hakasov, a really good expression. We don't see this expression that often throughout Shas. Nishtakel hakasov. So basically, the Torah now is in a stalemate. If you look at Rashi, nishtakel hakasov hushvu, meaning we're basically now even. It's a tie. Vishnei dinim bapasuk zeh detarti shaminamine velo yadinim basar haminai nezel. So now that the Torah so properly balanced, which should be going on top? So now, which one do I do? Ve'en yadim lechem agabe kvasim ve'en kvasim agabe lechem. So mem atzina b'chol makom lechem lamal afkan lechem lamal. So we generally find that lechem's on top. Now, where do we generally find that? So the truth of the matter is, we only found it one place, but we did find it, and that's by the meluim. By the meluim, the lechem is going to be going on top. So now that sets the precedent for any time there's a circumstance of bread and animal that's going to be weighed together, lechem is going to be on top. Good. Okay. Hecha, amara, papa bimeluim. And the Gemara just interjects in the Brisa for just a moment to remind us where is this precedented. Now it happens to be we're learning the Gemara. So we already saw it on the top of the Amud, but the Gemara over here must have been a traditional break point in the Brisa where a papa reminds everybody, oh yeah, by the Meluim. Okay, and now we're back to the Brisa. So so far we have one opinion in the Brisa, Tanakama we'll call it, and that is that in the Shtei Halechem and the Kivsi Atzeres that are waved together on Shavuos, so bread on top. Next. Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam amar kvasim lamala. So Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam says, no, the kvasim go on top. Umani mekayim al shnei kvasim laotzi shiva. And as far as the al shnei kvasim, so what is that coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude seven. What does that mean? Remember, on Shavuos, there are basically two sets of karbanos. There is a set of karbanos that are mentioned in Parshas Amor, and there's a set of karbanos that are mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. The set of karbanos that are mentioned in Parshas Pinchas, those are your traditional Musaf Karbanos. Every Yontif has a set of Karbanos, Musaf Karbanos that are brought, and those are all found in Parshas Pinchas. Right? Every time we have a Yontif, every time we're doing Mafsir, we're reading from the Karbanos. Parshas Pinchas. When you go to Parshas Amor, by all the other Yamim Tovim, there is no Karbanos that are referenced, because all the Musafim are in Pinchas. However, when you get to Parshas Amor, which obviously comes well before Pinchas, when you get to Parshas Amor, you will find that by Shavuos, it's a whole set of Karbanos that are mentioned over there. What Karbanos are they? They are not the Musaf Karbanos. Remember earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara entertained an idea for a moment that maybe they're one and the same, but the Gemara patently rejected it. It's not the same. Rather, what is it? They are Shtei Halachim Karbanos. That's what they are. Meaning they're all karbanos as supplement to the Shtei Halachem. So now that they're all supplemental to the Shtei Halachem, I might have thought it's a wonderful Havamina. They should all be waved together with the Shtei Halachem. So what the Gemara now is teaching us is that according to Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam, when it says Al Shnei Kvasim, the Torah is telling us that it's true that they're all Shtei Halachem karbanos and Parshas Amor. But in terms of which ones are going to get waived, only two of them are going to get waived, to the exclusion of the others. Now, it does say Lahotzi Shiva. Truth be told, there's more than seven other karbanos. Okay. See the psukim. I'm sure there's a way to address why the Gemara only chose these seven. But anyway, that's the basic point. Opinion number three. And here now, as I mentioned, you're going to get creative because how can there be now another opinion? Which should be on top. There should be only two opinions. There's a third opinion and there's a fourth opinion. Chanina ben Chachinai wants to try to create shalom between the two pesukim. Because, again, the problem is very simple. One pasuk says bread on top, the other pasuk says the kivsei atzeres on top. Well, which one do we do? So again, so the first two opinions is we're going to pick a side. The third opinion is we're not going to pick a side. What we're going to do is we're going to take the shtei lechem and we're going to place it between the legs, I assume the back legs of the kvasim. And now, as the shtei lechem is between the legs of the kvasim, so now you have everything. You have the bottom part of the leg. Yeah, right. You have the bottom part of the leg underneath the shtei lechem. You have the top part of the leg over the lechem. Okay, so now you're able to be mekayim both. Right, Rashi says the lases lechem bein yarkayim, or probably yarkasayim, a sandwich. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi." Now, if this is, it's a strange visualization, and if the visualization is strange to you, slash it offends you a little bit, you're not alone. Amar Rabbi lefnei melch basa v'dami nosin kain lefnei melch machay amlachem akadosh baruch hu osin kain. Rabbi says, look. It's hard to us for imagine like what's appropriate, what's inappropriate. They're kabanos, meaning whatever the Torah says, that's appropriate. But still, like in other words, to sandwich two loaves of bread between the legs of a live animal in order to wave the two together, like we could say it. Rebbe says it, so we could say it. It's strange. It's just a strange way to do it. I wouldn't do this in front of a regular king, and then present the loaves and present the animal after the loaves have been sandwiched between the legs of the animal in the thighs of the animal. It's really strange. And so Rebbe says, no, we're not going to do that. So Rebbe's of the position that they are put side by side. Not one on top of the other, but they're put side by side. Meaning, since the Torah gives us two instructions that are opposite, so basically what Rebbe does is, we'll take the average. And that is, we won't have the lechem on top of the kvasim, we won't have the kvasim on top of the lechem, but rather side by side. Interestingly, the Rambam over here takes a side on this issue. The Rambam goes like Rebbe when he describes the waving of the shtei lechem, the kifsei atzeres on Shavuos.
Why can't we just say you could use either one is good.
Right. Okay, you've came up with a fifth opinion. That's amazing. That's amazing. Okay, Danny, I don't know. Okay, fair question. I don't have an answer. V'habi inan al. Now, the Gemara is bothered by that because the Torah says the word al as a preposition. Al you generally means on top of. Amle Rav Chista Rav Amnun of Amle Rav Amnun of Rav Chista Rebbe Letame. So the Gemara tells us that this is Rebbe being consistent with himself in that. Amar al b'samuch. We find elsewhere Rebbe says al as a preposition does not have to mean on top of. It could. Generally it does, but it also means next to. And where do we find this? Titania. The two spoonfuls that are placed on the shulchan, now I'll say on top of the lechem hapanim. Now I say on top of because that's generally speaking how it's described, and that's the picture in my head. However, according to Rebbe, it's not the picture. It's not on top of. V'nasata l'amarechus levona zakah, Rebbe Omer, al b'samuch. Rebbe says that the spoons are not placed on top of the lechem hapanim, on the side of the lechem upon him. There must be some sort of shelf or whatever, or room on the shulchan where the bezichin could just simply sit next to the lechem upon him. Atomer al besamach ueno el al mamish. How do I know? Maybe al means on top of. Kishuamer v'sakosa al aron es haparoches. You're putting it al ha'aron. The paroches is on top of the aron. Is the paroches on top of the aron? The answer is patently no. So you see a precedent. We have a place in the Torah where you see the word al, and it does not mean on top of, it means next to. So havi amar al besamach. So that means that, A, acceptable understanding of the word al is not on top, but rather next to. Over here, same thing. Well, when it says al regarding the shtei lechem, the kifsei atzeres, it does not mean on top of, it means next to. And that is it's a wonderful way, but of course it requires you to say this chiddush, but it's a wonderful in that way now to create shalom between the two psukim. Because once you understand al meaning next to, each of the psukim now make perfect sense. Okay.
Yeah, the explanation when he put it between was, it was al, and you know, it gives it both
right.
Already, so why don't you just say that?
Well, Rebbe did not, Rebbe just thought it was inappropriate.
Rashi says it's mechitza.
Right, regarding that's by the pasuk of the parochas.
Right,
correct. It can't be on top of by the parochas. Molechamevi malo morid. And so here the Gemara now, this is it. This is the Gemara that discusses the mitzvah of tenufa. Now again, don't think of lulav yet. Lulav is coming. But right now, think in terms of the waving of, again, our discussion is regarding menachos. Certain karbanos are waved. And so now, Molchum Evi Malamara, the instructions that were given to us in the Mishnah in terms of how to wave, they're actually pretty simple. Meaning, if you ever see people wave Dalaminim, which I'm sure you have, so you'll notice that it's in a whole bunch of directions, and it's three times in each direction. Just, if we can for just a moment, scratch everything you know, and just look at the words of the Mishnah. So the words of the Mishnah is Molchum Evi, back and forth, Malu Morid, up and down. I would, if I'm counting, I'd call that four movements. Four movements. Back, right, front, back, up, down. In fact, if you look at Rashi in yesterday's daf, so Rashi, when giving a description, Rashi also keeps it real simple.
When you say three, why do you say four?
What, huh?
Forward, up, and down.
So that's oh, I'm sorry. No, in other words, Molech Umevi. Molech Umevi is
so
front, back.
Back.
Right? And then up and down. Okay, Rashi.
You can also, the up is one and down is another one. If you can't, well, it sounds to me, it would be six.
How?
Because if you say, you know, he goes forward is one, brings it back is second.
Right.
So when you go up is one, and when you bring it down is another one.
Right.
So it's
four.
Two.
We were together up until the very end. Up to the
up. One second. You're talking about when you bring it down.
It's a move.
Not like we do.
Again, what we do, we're going to get to. We're not there yet. I'm just explaining. Right? Okay.
We go up and down.
Okay, so with that stated, so the Mishnah now. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Sorry, I was going to quote Rashi from yesterday. Anyway, the Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, I have it underlined. So Molech Umevi Lemisha Rucha Shalom. So in terms of Molech Umevi, so in other words, the horizontal movements. So that is the ruchos. Obviously, the ruchos, the winds are blowing horizontally. Okay, unfortunately, right? The Rachmanis to the people living in the state, they're getting ruchos. They're getting serious ruchos. So it blows horizontally. So the movements, the horizontal movements, are Lemisha Rucha Shalom. They're reminding us of who's controlling the winds. Mala Umarid Lemisha Shamayim Varet Shalom. And the up down, that's Shamayim Varet. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, they say a little bit differently in terms of what the significance of the waving is. Amar Rav Chama Bar Ukva, Amar Rav Yossi Bar Rabbi Chanina, Molech Umevi Kedei Latzor Ruchos Raos. It's to stop bad winds. Meaning, so in other words, it is really, the waving is really a petition to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's tefillah. And it's a petition to Kadosh Baruch Hu that we get wind, but not Ruchos Raos, not bad winds. Malo Mar Kedei Latzor Talaim Raim. And the up down, so that's to make sure that the towel that we get, the dew that we get, is going to be good, not bad dew. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Avin, Zosemer, Shayar, Mitzvahs, Machbin, Osperanius. Now, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about the tenufa of a karban. It's important, but let's speak now in context. It's important, but it's not ma'akev. Meaning the avodas of a karban that are ma'akev are shechita and holacha and kabbalas adam. Sorry for going out of order. For shechita, for kabbalas adam, for holacha, and even holacha, by the way, you can equivocate. And Zrika Saddam. So those are avodas which are essential. If you do not do those avodas, so then the mitzvah has not been accomplished at all. As it relates to tenufa is nice. It's more than nice. It's a mitzvah. The Gemara's description over here, Shayari mitzvah. It's literally the remnant of a mitzvah. It's called that because if you don't do it, it still works. And the Gemara makes a simple observation that even though Shayari a mitzvah, nevertheless, it has the koach, it has the power, where it's able to stop bad winds, it's able to stop bad dew. And so one can imagine, I mean, the Gemara doesn't finish a sentence, but if that's Shayari a mitzvah that can accomplish that, imagine what a mitzvah can accomplish. Amar Rabba v'chein lulav. And Rabba says that the way we just described it regarding the mincha is going to be the same thing regarding a lulav as well. That's it. That's the Gemara that treats us to the idea that whatever we saw regarding the tenufa of a mincha and karbanos is true by lulav. Now we'll read a little bit more and then we'll come back. Rav Acha bar Yaakov v'matilei u'maisilei u'machve hachi. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov, when he would wave, so he would go back and forth u'machve hachi, and this is how he would demonstrate. Now, for us, by the way, demonstration is really hard when we're just reading text, and we don't see exactly how he does it. Would have been better had he been here and we had got an actual demonstration. But I'm going to give a good guess in terms of what exactly his nanuan looked like. And he says, this is right in your eye, Satan. Meaning, I'm doing a mitzvah, and I'm shaking the lulav. And so this is basically right into the eye of the Satan as he's doing the mitzvah. So basically, it's like mimicking bow and arrow and the shooting of a bow and arrow. Okay, if anyone wants to try to picture in their head what that would look like in terms of the shaking of lulav and esrog, but still, that's the basic idea. V'lav milsi, but the Gemara says, but I do not recommend that anyone do this. Meaning na'anu in the way that he described it, in a mimicking of a bow and arrow, and this should go into the eye of the Satan, mishum da'asil es guribay, because what you're doing is you're instigating the Satan. You're basically telling him, here, look what I can do. And the Satan's going to come back at you and say, really, that's what you can do? Look what I can do. And it'll be obviously going into a back and forth where you're going to lose your fighting chance. Okay. No.
No.
Just yep, that's right. That's right. In terms of how the lulav is actually shaken, so we are, that's it with the Gemara. We're not getting a lot of information out of the Gemara. Meaning that we know, we have some description of the tenufa of a mincha. We know that there's a horizontal movement. We know there's a vertical movement. But the Gemara doesn't even mention, just to be clear about how much information is coming out of the Gemara. In other words, everyone has in their head that we're going to go in every direction. We're going to go north, south, east, west. That's not mentioned in the Gemara, not at all. Now, the first place where you could see this idea where the horizontal movements are going in every direction, the Gemara does allude to it, because what does the Gemara say? It's that part of the idea of the Na'anuan is La'atzar Ruchos Ra'os, to stop the bad winds. We know winds coming from every direction, north, south, east, west. In fact, now I'll even quote the Rashi. Rashi writes, so Rashi over here, in fact, writes that the horizontal movements are going to go in four directions. Because we know that winds come from four directions, and therefore the horizontal movements will go in four. So you do at least get an idea from the Gemara that should be in four directions, but the Gemara never actually says four directions. Rashi does suggest that that's in fact so. What about some of the other things that we do regarding Na'anuan? So let's say, for example, what do we do in terms of directions? So we go back and forth and we do it three times. Right? Back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. And then we do that in all three directions. And then we do it up and down. And then we also add a shake. Some, right? If you ever look around a shul during Na'anuan, so you'll see that it's not uniformity. Right? People have various little kinetics in terms of how they do it. But like, in other words, where is all that coming from? So part of the answer to that is if you take a look at Tosfos over here and the Shita Mekubetzes, so a lot of that is coming from the Rishonim. If you take a look at Tosfos over here, Kedei La'atzar Ruchos Ra'os, so first of all, really interesting comment by Tosfos on the opening of this discussion. Shema lo b'chol tenufa sosin kein ela davka b'tenufa shel she'alechem da'artzeres v'chein lulav. Meaning, even though there is a tenufa requirement many times over, by many different menachos, and by many different karbanos, well, not many, but some karbanos, maybe the tenufa requirement for them are very simple. A movement, maybe even two. The idea that we have horizontal and vertical movements, as Tosfos, and that is specific to the Shtei Alechem Kifsei Atzeres of Shavuos, and Lulav by Sukkah. Why? Tosfos writes, so the reason why, says Tosfos, is go back to the first chapter of Rosh Hashanah. So we know that on various times of the year we're being judged. We're being judged on Pesach for the Tvuah, on Shavuos for the Peros, the Peros HaIlan, and on Sukkot on the water, on the Mayim. So in other words, on the times that we're judged and we're doing the tenufa now is going to in fact correspond to the idea that we need good winds, that we need good rain, that we need good dew. So in other words, on those times, the tenufa is going to be the more elaborate tenufa of both horizontal and vertical movements. And in addition to the na'anuin that we do with the lulav, there's also front and back as well. That you have to do na'anuin with the halacha and with the hova. So meaning that within each movement there has to be a movement. Hence, what do we get, says Tosfos, three times. Meaning, so when you're going front, it's not just simply front, back, it's front movement. So what does that mean, front movement? So one, two, three. And then same thing with the back, one, two, three, et cetera, et cetera. By Rabbi Zera, hachan chad v'hachan chad odoma hachan v'hachan chad perish. Now he quotes the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is exploring the idea of what exactly Nanun is going to look like. The way the Gemara, the Yerushalmi phrases the question, it's not so easy to understand. Tosu says, this is Pshat in the Yerushalmi. Kvar minitzarach ninun shalosh pa'amim. That the Nanun has to be done three times. By Rabbi Zera, haolacha tichashe pa'amachas, v'ovam pa'amachas, odoma haolacha v'ovam pa'amachas. And now, having established that it has to be three, how do I count three? Is front one, back two, front three? Now, admittedly, that's a little bit strange because you're not ending up in the same place, but still, is that how you counted? Or is back forth one, back forth two, back forth three? So, nechshav, it's v'tzarech la'otzi u'lahevi gimel pa'amim. Taman tanina benida peretes, binyan zayin samamanim, ma'avirin al ha'kesem v'tzarech lechaskei shalosh pa'amim. Another place in Shas where we have the similar idea, basically how to count, right? The scrubbing of the kesem with the seven chemicals. Al kol echad ve'echad, Rabbi Zera by hachan chad v'hachan chad, o hachan v'hachan chad. And we know that you need it needs three scrubs. How do I count a scrub? Back, forth, one. Back is one, forth is the other, etc., etc. V'lo ifshit, the Gemara does not answer the question. V'kem delishit avdin l'chumra, shalosh pa'amim b'chol echad ve'echad. And the Gemara asks the question, the Gemara does not resolve it. Therefore, says Tosos, we go back forth is one, back forth two, back forth is three. Ad kan lashono. V'yibayda asam isa nami ba'asha shalana benida. Okay, and the Yerushalmi, so we get part of the Yerushalmi and Nida as it relates to the Kesem. We don't ask the question regarding Nanun of the Luv. See more in Tosos for that topic, although we went through most of Tosos. And if you want to see more in the topic here on the Daf, just on the Daf alone, so you could see the Shita Mekubesas, Osiyot Zion, where he there also talks about exactly how the Nanun are going to look like regarding a lulav. In our Gemara, mind you, there are only two words in our Gemara, the Chaim Belulav. That's all we get in the Gemara. But in terms of the details of how it's done, so we base it based on Toso Shita Mekubesas, a citation of the Yerushalmi. Obviously, there are a lot of Makaros regarding the Nanun. Halach Lamaisa. So the Shulchan Aruch brings it down. See, there's a lot more to see. We just scratched the surface with the daf. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, we are now towards the bottom of the Amud and Samach Beis Amud Aleph and Tanur Rabbanan. It's about seven lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's the first wide line. Zivchei Shal Metzibur Tunin and Tenufa. La'achar Shchita V'Tenufasan Kemo Shehein Divrei Rebbe. The Zivchei Shalmit Tzibur. Now again, we've gone over this numerous times. Every time you see the word Shalmit Tzibur, it's only making reference to one carbon, that is the Kivsei Atzeres. It is the only communal Shlamim that's offered ever. And so Zivchei Shalmit Tzibur are going to require waving after the Shechted, and Tenufasan Kemo Shehein. And they're also going to be Shechted after, sorry, they're going to be waved after they're shechted in the full body, meaning not just the pieces. Now, let me see if I can present to you what's basically at issue over here. By a standard shlamim, where there is going to be waving by a standard shlamim. So which parts of the shlamim are going to get waved? Only chaz v'shok, not the animal. Now, admittedly, of course, the waving is going to be done after you shecht it. And of course that makes sense because before you shecht it, you can't just shake. You can't just do the tenufa on chaz v'shok. It's kind of an obvious point, but still. In other words, by standard shlamim, so tenufa will be done on chaz v'shok. Good. The point now over here is as follows. You see, by the kifsei atzeres, it is a shlamim, but it is an atypical shlamim. It's shalmit sibor. And on top of that, there was waving already done prior to being shechted. Obviously, you're waving the entire animal. And so now, the poshchita waving of the shalmit zibor, is that going to look like a regular shlamim? Or is that going to look like the waving that was done before it was shechted? Good. That's basically what's that issue over here. B'mai kamiflagi. Now, the way I said it, the Gemara's going to say it. Gemara's going to say it, and it's typical traditional fashion. So Amar Le Rav Chista Le Rav Hamnun of Amila Rav Hamnun Le Rav Chista Bedomina Uka Baasra Kamithlagi. When you make a Gzeirah Shava, how do you do it? So in other words, there are two words in the Torah. We have a Misara. You can only do it with a Misara. We have a Misara in terms of the fact that these make a Gzeirah Shava, and then what happens is that they're linked. Now, we're learning a halacha from A to B, and from B to A. Usually it's a two-way street. So we're learning halacha from one from the other. Now, when taking halacha from A to B, A obviously is one area in halacha, B is another area in halacha. So that halacha that transfers from A to B, do I just simply say, look, whatever the halacha is, that's what we're going to do, period. Or no. What we're going to do is we're going to take the halacha from A to B, but we're going to fit it in contextually into B. So that it's not just A, it's A modified to fit B. Right? That's the basic idea of domina omina. So if you subscribe to the idea of domina omina, so that means you make the Gzeirah Shava and it just goes through and that's it. No context. Domina v'uka ba'asra means make the Gzeirah Shava, but then have it fit contextually to where you're going to bring it to. And the Gemara now says like this, Rabbanan Savi Domina Omina, Mazev Chesham Yachetunim Tenufa La'achar Shechita, Avzev Chesham Yitzibar Tunim Tenufa La'achar Shechita, Umina Ma'asa Bechaz V'shok, Avachana Mi Bechaz V'shok. So according to the Chachamim, what we have over here is Gzeirah Shava, and don't fit it in contextually. By Yishlamim, how is Tenufa done after you shechted? Only with the Chaz V'shok. By the Shalom Yitzibar, how do you do Tenufa after you shechted? Only with the Chaz V'shok. Meaning, no context. And Rabbi Sefer Domina Vuka Basra Maziv Chesham Yachetun and Tenufa La'achar Shechita Avziv Chesham Yitzibar Tunin Tenufa La'achar Shechita Vuka Basra Hasam Hu Dechaz V'shok Avahacha Kemo Shehin B'chayim. And the last Rashi in the Samad, by the way, made me a little crazy, but I figured it out. The last Rashi, Kemo Shehin, Rashi over here is not Shlamim, Shleimim. Meaning, according to Rebbe, he operates with the idea of Domi Anav Uka Ba'asra, which means that you fit in contextually. Look, by a standard Shlamim, so yes, you're going to do Tenufa, and yes, it's only going to be on the Chaz V'shok. And yes, we're going to transfer over the Halacha from a standard Shlamim over to Kivsei Atzeres. But then you fit in contextually. What's the context of the Shamit Sibor? The entire animal was waved prior to the Shechita. So therefore, when you do Shechita again after it shechted, the entire animal. Fit it in contextually. Top of Samach Beis Amud Beis. Rapapa Armadukole Amadomina Omina. Rapapa says we don't have to say that. We could suggest that everyone's of the opinion that when you make a Gzeirah Shava, the halacha goes from A to B, and you don't have to modify, and you don't have to fit it in contextually. And in terms of explaining Rebbe's position, actually, it's pretty straightforward. Rebbe says that, look, we don't have to modify it. But in other words, what gets waived? The part that goes to the Kohen. By a standard Shlamim, that's the Chaz V'shok. Therefore, by a standard Shlamim, it's that part that gets waived. By Shamit Sibor, which part goes to the Kohen? The entire animal goes to the Kohen. Meaning by Shamit Sibor, all of the animal goes to the Kohen. It's communal. There's no individual who owns it. And so therefore, all of it goes to the Kohen. So therefore, which part should get waived? The entire animal. Ravina Amar Dekula Amar Domina Vuka Basra. And Ravina says, no, we can go the other way. We could say that both Kanaim subscribe to the idea that you modify it when taking Halacha from A to B, so Domina Vuka Basra. But put it now in its correct context. And now, so who needs explaining? The Chachamim. So, Domi Navuka Basra, V'hainu Tamad the Rabbanan, Shalmeihem, Ribuyehu. Because the Torah says the word Shalmeihem, so that means it's a ribuy. It's an expansion. So that tells me that, although I would fit it in contextually tells me that when it was alive, it was waved in its entirety. When it shechted, it should be waved in its entirety. But according to the Chachamim, Gzeiras HaKasav, that you should do it not based on, you should do it, sorry, only Chaz V'shok and not the entire animal. We are in the very top of Samach Beis Amud Beis at the two dots, not the top line, sorry, about five lines from the top. Rabbi Shimon Amar Shosha Minim Tunin Shosh Mitzvos, Shtayim B'chol Achas B'chol Echad, V'shlishis Ein Bahem. So we have Rabbi Shimon back in the Mishnah. Now Rabbi Shimon back in the Mishnah, it's really, more than anything else, it's just a helpful way to remember things. Three different types of karbanos where we'll take three variables. Tenufa mechayim, tenufa mishchita, and smicha. I should have gone the other way because smicha comes first. Smicha, tenufa mechaim, tenufa mishchita. So those are your three variables. There are three different karbanos, where in these three karbanos, two of the three apply. And it's not going to be the same two for each one of the three. It'll be a different combination for each one. Okay. And obviously you can only come up with a total of three. Says the Gemara. And over here I'm going to read this quickly because this is just a repetition of our Mishnah that we learned yesterday. Rabbi Shimon Amar Shlosha Min Eitunim Shlosh Mitzvah Shai Mechol Echav Shlishis Ein Bahem Ve'elo Hein Ziv Ziv Chei Sham Yachiv Ziv Chei Sham Yitzibor Ve'ashem Etzora. So those are the three karbanos. Ziv Chei Sham Yachiv Tunim Smicha Chaim U'tenufa Shchutim Ve'ein Bahem Tenufa Chaim. So by a standard shlamim of an individual, so there's smicha, there's tenufa, but only after you shechted. There's no tenufa mechaim. By a ziv chei sham etzibor etzibor tunim tenufa chaim v'shchutim ve'ein bahem smicha. By your sham etzibor kifse atzeres tenufa when it was alive, tenufa after it was shechted. How tenufa was done after you shechted? So that's the machlokus that we just saw on the bottom of the previous amud. There is no smicha that's done. Asham mitzorah tun smicha v'tenufa chaim ve'ein bo tenufa shachin. And by the asham of the mitzorah, so smicha is done by the mitzorah. Tenufa is done. Tenufa is done by the kohen only while the animal is alive. No tenufa after you shecht it. Okay, now Gemara now wonders, well, why not have all three by all three? And basically, the answer is going to be really simple. Drushas. There's the kusuf. So let's just quickly run through the Gemara. V'yuziv chesham ayachetun and tenufa chayim mikavachomer. Ma ziv chesham etzibar shein tunun smicha chayim tunun tenufa chayim. Ziv chesham ayachetun and smicha chayim. Einu din shetunun tenufa chayim. So the Gemara says, so we know that there's smicha by a standard shlamim. And there's no smicha by communal shlamim. And so therefore, let's make the argument that since we see that there are added features by the standard shlamim, so maybe there should be a tenufa as well. Tenufa is chayim by a standard shlamim. So the Gemara says, "Mir Rechmana Gabi Ziv Chesham Mitzibar Osam Osam Lamute Ziv Chesham Ayachid." So the Gemara's answer is, "It's a drasha. We have a mute. The Torah tells us that the Tenufas Chayim is only for Ziv Chesham Mitzibar, not Ziv Chesham Ayachid." Next, we're going to do this two more times. V'yu Ziv Chesham Mitzibar Tunin Smicha Mikav Chomer Ma Ziv Chesham Ayachid Shein Tunin Tenufa Chayim Tunin Smicha Ziv Chesham Mitzibar Shetunin Tenufa Chayim and Din Shetunin Tunin Smicha. Again, a suggestion of the Gemara. Well, if there's smicha by a standard shlamim, shouldn't there be smicha by the sham mitzibor? Anyway, you see, there's something unique and special about the sham mitzibor. It has tenufas chayim, so maybe it should require smicha as well. Am Ravina gemir shtei smichos mitzibor. So Ravina's response to that is, we have a tradition. Gemir over here meaning halach la Moshe misinai. We have a tradition that there only are two karbanos out there that are public, that are communal, that require smicha. And there's no others.
Is the word Gemara the same as Gemara?
Yeah, tradition. Sometimes the word Gemara means to learn, but in this context, it means tradition. Okay, so let's sharpen our brains. Which two karbanos? Which two communal karbanos require smicha? So I know which one it's not. It's not the Kifsei Atzeres. So which one do? So you can look, by the way. You have the Gemara in front of you open. So the Rashi over here says, Misinai beis michos b'tzibar parhalam davar shal tzibur, diachziv v'samchu ziknei ha'eda, and the seer ha'mishtaleach, v'samach aron ashtei yadav. Those are it. The only two karbanos, the only two communal karbanos that have smicha. And the halach l'moshe misinai tells us there's no others. Because there's no others, obviously, Kifsei Atzeres is not. V'yehei Asher Mitzorah Tam Tenufa Shachem Mikav Chomer. Maybe the Asher Mitzorah should have Tenufa after we shechted. And again, we'll make a Kav Chomer. Ma'aziv Chei Shamei Yachid Shein Tunin Tenufa Chayim Tunin Tenufa Shchutim. Asher Mitzorah Shetan Tenufa Chay. Einu Din Shetan Tenufa Shachut. So again, the idea is that I have extra features by the Asher Mitzorah. So maybe there should also be Tenufa after Weshechtin. Mir Rechman Agabi Ziv Chei Sham Mitzia Yachid Oso Oso Lamaute Asham Mitzara. And again, the answer is it's a drasha. We have a miut that the Tenufa Shachud only applies to the Ziv Chei Sham Yachid, not to the Asham Mitzara. Tana Rabbanan finishing up the daf. Chamisha Sheviu Karban Echad Echemenif Al Yedei Kulam. If you have five people who are bringing a karban, you can have a partnership over a karban. You have five people bringing a karban, so one is going to be doing tenufa on behalf of the other four. Isha koin menif al yada. A woman's carbon, which we already established, needs tenufa, but she's not entering into the azar. She's not doing tenufa. So the koin will do it on her behalf. Menif al yada. V'chein ashalech carbon asam mimedina sayam koin menif al yada. And for that matter, anyone who's not in the azara, so the tenufa will be done on his behalf. Obviously, he's not there, so they'll do it on his behalf. Okay, Adkan takes us to the end. Tomorrow we start with the Mishnah.